All right, let's get into it. Let's open our Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Okay, in 1 John chapter 5, I'll start reading in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Whatsoever, or you could say whosoever, is born of God overcometh the world. So whatever the world has to try to prevent you from moving forward and doing what God has called you to do, if you're born of God, how many of y'all are born of God? Amen. Then you have overcome the world. You are a world overcomer. All right, let's go back to our foundation again in Luke chapter 17, Luke's Gospel chapter 17. And this, again, is our faith refresher, and we're calling this particular series of teachings, Faith, a Servant of the Believer. Faith, a Servant of the Believer. Now, let's look here at Luke chapter 17, and I'll start reading at verse 3 so you can get a little bit of background as to what's happening. He says, Jesus is speaking here. He says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt what? Forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, you can kind of see that if the same person and talked about you three times in a row, you're going to need some more faith for that. Praise the Lord. But they said, increase our, they asked the Lord to increase our faith. I'd like you to turn to 2 Thessalonians, and let's look at this increase our faith request. We found out that the way that we increase our faith is first to plant it. To plant it. That if we had faith as a seed, we would say. So increasing our faith is something that God wants to do for his people. And matter of fact, he wants us to have ever increasing faith. That he says here in 2 Thessalonians in verse chapter 1 and verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. So we said that faith can grow, that faith can increase. But one of the things we have to be reminded of, and somebody came up to me last night and said, Pastor, I ask you to pray for me that I can have more faith. Well, sister, if I could pray for you to have more faith, I'm going to first pray for myself because I need some more. We always need some more faith. But for me to lay hands on you and pray for you to have more faith is not the answer. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we've got to first hear the Word concerning a matter which perhaps is something that we look at as important to us, or something that we're dealing with, or circumstances we're going up against. We need to have a word of faith on that. One of the things that happened in my life is that God had called me to leave the company that I was at present working in. And I was working in one of the large computer companies in the world. And this company had given me good benefits. It taught me quite a bit about business and about management, et cetera, et cetera. And it had been a good company. And so we had where now God is speaking to me about going full-time in the ministry. And for some reason, you know, I tried to set some dates of when I was going to go, but looked like those dates came and went, and I didn't leave that company. And I didn't leave. One of the reasons why is because I was kind of looking at the money side of it and said, well, now, wait a second. I got a mortgage note. I got this and that. I said, hey, there's no way I can leave this company. But what happened was I heard a man teach, and he taught, and one of the primary scriptures that he used was found in Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, in verse 29 and 30. And it says, as Jesus was teaching on this story of the rich young ruler, he said that no man who has left house or land or mothers or father or whatever for my sake in the gospel, and I included job in there, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, land, so forth, and so on, everything other than wives. And so I said, now, I took that scripture and I began to take that scripture and began to take it into first my mouth, and as I spoke it, it went down into my heart. Now, the heart inside of you is your spirit man, which is the real you. Your body is not you. That's your house. Your body is your house. How many of y'all ever moved out of an apartment or out of a house before? When you leave the earth, you're moving out. You're going to leave that here. And then it'll go back to the dust where it was made from. But in my life, I had to speak it first. So I began to declare what I wanted to be. And as I declare that, you'll find that you are a prophet of your own life. And so as I spoke those words came out of my mouth as seeds. And that seed went into the soil of my heart. Now, what does the soil do to seed? It grows it. Thy faith groweth. Glory to God. Thy faith groweth. So now here's a seed inside of me. And as I speak these words every day, I'm now watering this seed. And the seed is starting to grow. Well, one day as I was going down University Avenue in St. Paul, Minnesota, St. Paul and Minneapolis are twin cities there. And I, this thing just burst inside of me, just came alive. No longer did I hear the words coming from the outside, but now the word began to come from the inside. And when the word comes from the inside, we call that word rhema. Before it was logos. Logos is the whole word. But once that word comes inside of you and begins to speak to you, then we call it rhema. And so it's now the revealed word. And when it does that, that's when faith cometh. Faith cometh. So now I stop the car, pull it over, use the phone that was on the side of the road, and I call my wife. I said, baby, we're leaving this company, whatever the company is. I won't name the company, but we're leaving this company. And so she said, well, praise the Lord. Well, that was good news for me, because before I wasn't able to separate from it, I needed faith. And faith comes how? By hearing, see? So if you're having a situation in your life that's a giant, that's something too big for you, then what you need is faith. Because we get faith, and faith will give us what we need to overcome that situation that's in the world. Now, let's go back then. Let's look here. Let's go further. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not what? Faith. Underline that. All men have not faith. Now, when he says all men have not faith, what he's saying is the faith that we're talking about is a different faith than the faith that you would have in the natural. Let me show you the difference. Turn to John's Gospel and chapter 20, because there are two kinds of faith. There is a faith that's a natural faith, a faith that comes by your natural senses, and by the conditioning or by the reasoning. But there's another faith that comes differently, and that we call the God kind of faith. Let's look here at John chapter 20. In John chapter 20, and look at verse 19. This is after Jesus had been raised from the dead. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now, Jesus had been raised from the dead, and now he is showing himself to his disciples. And the disciples, he said, "Peace be unto you." And the Bible says that when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands. Now, that's a physical showing. So Jesus showed unto them the nail scars in his hands. Now, understand, now they're getting physical proof of his existence, that this wasn't some kind of aberration or wasn't some kind of just ghost or something. This was Jesus. And now he is showing them and probably allowed them to touch it. Then they were glad. Then were the disciples glad. So they're glad after they see this thing. Now we're finding out that's not what faith is. Faith is first believing it, then seeing it. So the world wants to see it before they come on, believe it, but not the church. Because the just, come on, shall live by faith. You have been designed like God. God is a faith God, and you have been designed to walk by what? Faith, and not by what? Sight, what you can see, what you can feel, touch, taste, etc. You're not designed to walk like that. So if we're functioning by seeing it first, then believing it, we're malfunctioning. So what God wants to do is a faith refresher, is to get us back over into a faith walk. Because God wants to do some things and he cannot do them without faith. Look at verse 24. Now, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with him when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of nails, and put my finger into the print of nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So what did he need to do to believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead? What did he need to do? Got it? So it's no difference when God says, by his stripes, come on, we are healed. Now, first, we got to feel like we're healed before we believe that we're healed. So that is not faith at all. Are you following what I'm saying? You see, faith first comes into the spirit and then works its way into the natural. The things of God come from the outside in. The things of God come from the inside out. The things of man or the world come from the outside in. That's why the enemy can control people with paychecks and jobs and so forth like that. Why? Because they're getting all the input from the outside in. But if you get your input directly from God into your spirit, God will then lead you into some ways that the enemy can never control you again. All right, look what it says here in verse 26. And after 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut. He stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." Then said he to Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not what? Faithless, but what? Believing." Now, so Jesus is about to tell you that to feel it first or see it first before you believe it is called what? Faithless. So if you've got to feel that you're healed before you believe that you're healed, then you are too, come on, faithless. Come on now. Speak on up. It's all right. All right. Now, what we're doing is we're locating it, letting you see where you're at, so you can see that when we don't practice our faith, we seem to fall from faith. We seem to come back down to what's natural. You know what I mean? But we're not what's natural. The Bible says in Isaiah 8:18, "I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and wonders." We are made for the supernatural. Amen. All right, look what he said in verse 28. And Thomas answered him and said, "My Lord and my God." See, he shouted after he felt something. You got what I'm saying? Don't shout then, shout now. Glory to God. And Jesus said unto them, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, you have believed. But blessed are they that have not seen," come on, "and yet have believed." Now, what is he saying here? That whenever you start believing first and then see it, then you're operating on a higher plane than the regular folk who got to see it first, then, come on, believe it. Now, let's show you that in the scriptures. Let's turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Mark's Gospel, chapter 11. Whenever you're operating on that higher plane like that, you're operating on a higher order of power. There's a greater power. There's now God's ability that is going to come through to you and through you. And that's what you want. You don't want, when he was showing them Canaan, he was showing them Canaan, and Canaan was a land that had giants in it. How many of you remember that? Well, they could not, in their own ability, defeat those giants. Whose power or whose ability were they going to need to do that? They were going to need God's ability. But if you're not walking in faith, God's ability will not come through you. You got it? You choke off God's ability with unbelief. Now look what it says here in verse 12. Have you got it? "And tomorrow when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came if haply he might find anything thereon. And he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not," what? "Yet. And Jesus answered and said to it," said to who? It. What is it? The tree. So Jesus talks to trees. Say that with me. Jesus talked to trees. Now this is just one account. He probably talked to a bunch of them before it was all over with. But I want you to see that Jesus can talk and would talk to inanimate objects. See, so don't think it's weird when you start talking to something at your house, or you start talking to something in your car, or you start talking to something at your job, or you start talking to your billfold, or you start talking to your pocketbook, or you start talking to your mother-in-law. No, you start talking. No, I just kidding. You start. But don't think it. Don't think that. Because this is what you do as a believer. So you're going up to a higher order now. Don't let the world dictate to you how you're supposed to act. Because they've got television and media and all of that to try to make you feel that if you act a certain way, you're weird. But that's not true. The world is perverted. The reason is that the real deal is they're weird. They're acting a strange way. All right, look what it says here in verse 14. "And Jesus answered and said to it, No man eat fruit of thee," what? "Hereafter," come on, "forever." And who heard it? The disciples heard it. Notice it didn't say they overheard it. It says they heard it. Jesus wasn't trying to hide it. "No man eat fruit of you hereafter." He wasn't saying that. He stood back off the tree. Tree! Glory to God, I'm talking to you. Listen to me. "No man eat fruit of you hereafter." I'm just letting you know, when it comes to speaking to inanimate things, you're going to have to reach down and get some boldness in your life. Especially when people are around you. Come on now. Because it is not natural for you to do that. Do you hear what I'm telling you? All right, now I want you to remember this here, because don't go home and forget what we've talked about here. Are you following what I'm saying? The Bible says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye," come on, "transformed by the" what? "Renewing of your mind." See, when you get transformed, you're acting totally different than you used to act before. And that "transform" there in the Greek means the same word metamorpho, where we get a word metamorphosis, which it means like a caterpillar turns into a what? A butterfly. It means that you come and change into something that you can't even recognize where you came from. Look what it says in 15. "And they came to Jerusalem. Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple." Now, he had spoken to the tree. Didn't he speak to the tree? Yeah. Then he left that tree and he went on down to Jerusalem. That tree was not on his mind. He went on down to Jerusalem and he did some things down there. And then verse 19, "And when the evening was come, he went out of the city. So now he's going back up to Bethany, which was half a mile or so away. And now he's going back up there to get some rest at night. Now, notice they did pass by the tree again, because the assumption is that they went right back the same way, come on, that they came. But notice when they went back by the tree, you see no account here of anybody recognizing that that tree had shriveled up. Anything had happened to that tree. In other words, when you first speak to something, it may not look like anything happened at the beginning. But remember, it works from the spirit world first, then to the outer world, to the physical world. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, look what it says here in verse 20. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the where?
Roots.
From the where?
Roots.
Roots. We said that roots do two things, mainly. One of the things that roots do is they stabilize the tree. They make it so when the wind blows, the tree won't blow away. The roots hold it into place. The other thing that the roots do, among other things, is that they feed nutrients up to the tree. So it's, we said that the tree represents a problem, but the roots represent the unseen. So what has happened is something in the unseen is holding the problem in place. So if we can speak words of faith, that faith is a servant that goes all the way down to the roots. It goes into the unseen realm, actually destroys that unseen thing that is causing the seen thing to come into and stay in place. You hear what I'm saying? A lot of things that the world does is they try to put band-aids over a real bad situation. And we know that that won't work. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's men, come on, and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty back together again. See, the world has no real solution, because the world normally is trying to address the problem on the level of the leaves. Glory to God. But what it is a deeper fix that's needed. And it's in the spirit realm. And you can't use the physical to fix the spirit. You're going to have to use the spirit to fix the spirit. So we walk by what? Faith. Because when we walk by faith, we walk in the what? Spirit. And when we walk in the spirit and release words from our spirit that we believe, those words become living things. And they go down to the very source of your dilemma, of what your problem is, and begin to fix it in the unseen realm first. Now, if you take those roots and you cut the roots off of that tree, let me tell you something. That tree may be looking good, but it's dead in a doornail. Glory to God. Everything that held that tree there, everything that fed that problem, is no longer existing. It's just a matter of time before that thing shrivels up and blows away, and no trace that you ever had the problem in your life. Now, verse 21, and Peter calling to remembrance, he said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed, it's withered away. Now, this tree was cursed, and it got withered. I mean, withered. And that's what I shared last night. My wife brought out to me. She said, sweetheart, for that tree to wither, took a supernatural act of God. It took the El Shaddai of God. El Shaddai is not only the one who supplies your needs and a God of abundance, but is also the one who overrides natural law. See, El Shaddai can reverse time in your life. El Shaddai can speed up time in your life. So this time here was obviously speeded up. What it would take, you know yourself, you clip a flower or a rose off of a bush, you can put it in a glass or put it on the shelf or something, that it'll stay for a couple of days. But this tree here, I mean, it shriveled up within 24 hours. Say amen to that. Look what it says in verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Now that have faith in God, another way of saying that is have the what? Have the God kind of faith. So there is a God kind of faith. It's the same faith that God used when he said, let there be light, and there was light. So God has given that same faith to you and I through his word. And now we're to use that same faith to change and rearrange this earth. Look what it says here in verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, are you a whosoever?
Yes.
But it didn't stop there. It said, whosoever shall say. You got a bunch of whosoevers, but they ain't saying nothing. So whosoever shall say unto this mountain, the mountain is a problem that you cannot do anything about. Be thou what?
Removed.
Removed, and be thou what? cast into the sea and, come on, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall what? Believe that those things that he says shall come to pass. What'll he have? He'll have, come on, whatsoever he saith. Glory to God. He'll have whatsoever he said. Now, one of the things that he says here is shall not doubt in his head. See, it didn't say head, did it? This doesn't have anything to do with the head. Faith does not come out of your head. Your head cannot do anything about faith. Faith only comes out of the where? Out of the spirit man, out of your heart. Now look what it says, shall not doubt in your heart. Let's look what doubt will get you. Let's go over to Matthew's got to hold something right there, coming right back. Matthew chapter 14, please. Let's look at doubt. Somebody said, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Feed your faith. Hallelujah. Somebody else said, treat doubt like dope. Stay away from it. Look what it says here. You see, as soon as you get the word many times, people will come and they'll come and try to give you some little something to try to make you what? Doubt. See? Now, are you sure that, well, you know my aunt believed that way and she died of, see, just one little word. So you're going to have to guard your what? Heart. When you start walking by faith, faith is fragile. You're going to have to guard it. A lot of times you can't go around telling them same people that you were, especially when you're in the process of believing for something. You can't even go around and tell them, say, I'll see y'all after July 4th. You know what I mean? Say, I'm believing. I got something working here, and I don't want to get my faith off the line. So that's my point. So you can't, you got to understand when you start believing for something and so forth and so on, you it's a fragile area you're in right there. Because you got something coming forth that's supernatural. And remember what I said, the devil is not after you. The enemy is not after you. He's after your what? Faith. What we say, fight the good fight of what? Faith. Lay hold of eternal life. I'm telling you right now, it's not you that does the fighting. Faith will do the fighting. All you got to do is release your faith to fight. Praise God. And faith will not lose. When you go in the ring with a problem, let me tell you, it's good to know that we win. It's good to know that it's a good fight. So look what it says here in Matthew's Gospel chapter 14. Let me know when you get there. And verse 22. And straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to go into the ship and go before him to the other side. And while he sent away the multitudes. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves. For the wind was what? Contrary. Notice the circumstances in life were now dictating to them what to do. Notice how they were being governed and ruled by the things of this earth. And that is not the place where a person of faith is supposed to be. You're supposed to be in charge and you're supposed to be the one that's ruling versus the one that's being governed. Are you following what I'm saying? Look what it says here in verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night. Now, the fourth watch is area from 3 o'clock a.m. to 6 o'clock a.m. Jesus went into them walking on the sea. So all this is happening during the nighttime. How many of you know the enemy sometimes has his most violent attacks during the nighttime? You know, especially when there's a full moon, you know. And verse 26, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying that it's a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Well, they didn't expect Jesus or a man to be walking on water. Now, look what it says in verse 27. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, they probably recognized his what? His voice. See, it had to come into some physical recognition first. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. How many of you know Peter is always stepping out on something? Peter always either that or had his foot in his mouth some kind of way. And Jesus said to him, what? Come. He said, what? Come. He said, what? Come. Now, if it weren't God's will or permissible by God for Peter to walk on water, Jesus never would have agreed with it. Glory to God. I'm here to tell you, Jesus wants you to get on some water sometime. Jesus wants you to do the supernatural. It's time for us to do that. Look what he says here. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Glory to God. There was enough power in that one word to give Peter dominion over the laws of gravity. Look what it says here in verse 30. But when he saw, that's it right there. But when he what? Saw. The what? Wind boisterous. He was what? Afraid. And beginning to what? Sing. He what? Cried. Saying what? Lord. That's a prayer. That's the shortest prayer that I've seen here. Lord, save me. Now, let's analyze that for just a minute. When he what? Saw. So he took his eyes, glory to God, off of the master, off of the promise of God, and began to consider more his circumstances. Because all this was there all the time. It's just that the enemy, when you start stepping out on the word does work. But what the enemy tries to do is he tries to, as soon as you start acting on your faith, he tries to put up some circumstances in your life. Tries to send you a piece of mail that somebody's asking for money that you haven't heard from in 3 years. Come on now. He tries to get you to get in some kind of fuss with your husband or with your wife. Come on now. He's trying to get your mind off of the word and onto your circumstances. You got what I'm saying? Now, I'm just saying that because somebody will shoot you a word or something that's discouragement or something like that, and you can't buy it. You got to say, no, I ain't even going for that. I'm out on my faith, and I'm going to stay out here because I'm going all the way to the other side. Praise the Lord. And he said, and when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his what? Hand. I like that immediately. Can't you see it? When you stepping out on your faith and you done stepped out maybe too soon. Come on now. Or maybe you did something wrong. Or maybe you got into some considerations and you're beginning to sink. That doesn't make it the word not true. Because the word is a work if you work it. But in this situation, he was beginning to sink and he cried out for some mercy. Now, mercy is like if you ever watch one of those circus acts where they walk the high wire. Y'all ever seen that walk the high wire? Now, what'll happen if they slip and fall? What's down there? That's called mercy. That's called mercy. You got what I'm saying? It didn't quite work for you, but caught you right there. And guess what? That mercy is new every morning. They put up a new one every morning. So you ain't got no raggedy net down there. Isn't that wonderful? So don't be fearful of stepping out of the boat and getting on your faith. Because the enemy will try to tell you all the reasons first why you couldn't get out the boat. All them other disciples in there, where you going, Peter? Peter, get out of here. Peter, come back in. Peter, Peter, look, your mama wants you, Peter. But you got to get out of that boat. It's out of the comfort zone of your flesh and get over into faith and let God hold you up on that water. Tell glory to God. And let me tell you, it's out there where if the Lord don't help you, you in trouble. You know what I mean. Get on out, stretch on the ground out there. Praise God. Say, I'm out there now, Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I'm helping myself here. I'm about to preach myself happy. Yes, indeed. Get you something to believe for. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, O thou, come on, a little faith. Wherefore did thou doubt? Just 1 ounce of doubt came in and caused his faith to fail. Now, not little faith mean that he didn't have but a little. It means short burst. The enemy came in to shut down his faith. Because when other people see you walking on water and see the results in your life, it stimulates their faith. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. Now, let's go back then to Luke's gospel. Now, we're at that tree. Mark's gospel. Let's go back to Mark. Let's go to that first, and then I want to take you further tonight. Look what it says here. Are you with me now?
Amen.
So faith is not a feeling. Am I right about it?
Amen.
Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence, come on, of things not seen. Faith is not a feeling. If you can feel it, you're not in faith. So faith is not a feeling. It's not reasoning. We're going further than that. And look what it says here in Mark chapter 11. Let's see it, verse 23 again. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, how many of y'all are whosoever, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. But shall what?
Believe.
That those things which he saith. What things?
Those things.
It didn't say that thing. Come on, what did it say? Those things. Why do you think it said those things and not that thing? See, you can't say all day, oh, my feet are killing me. And we know your feet not killing you. I'm just dying to go. You ain't dying. Now you saying all that unbelief all day. And then you come home tonight saying, I believe I receive $1,000. Now, how is that going to work? Because, see, you've trained yourself not to believe what you say. See? So we got to make sure that what we say, we mean. That this is what I'm going to say. So you're going to have to watch your mouth. That's all I'm going to say about that. Look at verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you what? Receive them, and ye shall what?
Amen.
Now notice what he said. Whatsoever things you desire, what? When you what?
Pray.
When you what?
Pray.
Don't pray the problem. Pray your desire. And your desire should line up with what?
Word
of God. Okay. And faith makes prayer work. Prayer doesn't make faith work. Faith makes prayer work. That's why you pray the word. Okay. And sometimes we think, you know, we sometimes we'd be trying to get a bunch. I mean, see, it's all right to have a lot of people. One can put 1,000 flight, two can put 10,000, so forth and so on like that. But I'm here to tell you, God can take one person's prayer. Are you following what I'm saying? It's one person's prayer. It's when you pray, you are releasing your faith in what you're praying for. Now let's just look at this. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 17, but go over to James chapter 5 real quick. James chapter 5. And you'll have to turn fairly quickly here because time is... Is moving on. Let me know when you get there. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you might be what?
Healed.
The effective, fervent prayer of a what kind of man? A righteous man, what does it do? It availeth much. Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, meaning that he had the same frailties as we have in the flesh. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of how many years? 3 years and 6 months. Now this man was using his prayer to control the weather. As an evangelist, they said they went over in Africa in a part of Sahara, I guess, and up in going further up north from Western Africa, and they came and it hadn't rained in that land for almost 3 years. And they had a team that went over there. And they said to the man, you know, they had witch doctors dancing around and so forth. And I mean, not them, but not the Christians, but some other people. But they said, we get some rain in here. And they prayed. And they had stayed there about a week or so. Before they left, it started raining. Now, you know what this tells me. When I saw Jesus on that boat and that storm came, that storm was about to sink that boat. And what we discovered is that the storm wasn't from God. So with our faith, we can control the weather. Am I taking y'all too far out? Verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, one of the things it said is that he was a righteous man. Or the effective fervent prayer for the righteous availeth much. Now, let's look again. We were talking about the righteous last night. I just want to make sure we get all these principles, because I don't want to miss that one, because that's key to faith flowing like a flood. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Now, I'm not going to spend much time on this. I'm not going to spend much time on it, but I'm going to give it to you. Come on, hurry. Romans chapter 5. Look at Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 17. For while one man's offense, death reign by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one who? Jesus Christ. So notice, it says reign in life. Now, in the Amplified, it says reign as king. So God wants you and me to reign as a king in this life. Now, what did it say? That the just shall live how? The who?
Just.
Shall live how? Now, let's look at Romans chapter 5 and look at what verse 1 and see about this just again. Therefore, being what? Justified by what? Faith. Now, what does just mean? Righteous. Justified means just like you never did it. So it, we could substitute in that place, for the righteous shall live how? By faith. So now, one of the things that we've got to do is make sure we make the righteousness faith connection. We got to make sure that if we're talking about walking in faith, we better do something about righteousness. Because people are trying to use faith and things are not working only because there's no sense of righteousness. And I'm telling you that if you deal with righteousness first, faith comes almost automatically. What righteousness does, look what it says, being justified by faith, we have what? Peace with God. That word peace is a word that says we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with God. Fellowship says you and God are one. So what happens is when you and God are one, you don't have any problem, glory to God, going to God for petition prayer or intercessory prayer and know that he heard you. See, the knowing that he heard you comes from righteousness. Are you following what I'm saying? Let's go back again. Y'all still here, aren't you? Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5 one more time. Glory to God. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. 1 John chapter 5. All the way back. 1 John chapter 5. Look at verse 14 again.
Let me come on, look at verse 14. Have you got it?
Amen.
Then hold your hand right there and turn to Isaiah 32. Now don't just follow my instructions. Now I'm gonna read 1 John chapter 5, but I want to read Isaiah chapter 32 first, and a scripture in Isaiah chapter 32, because this is all related to righteousness. Remember, he said over in Matthew's gospel, he said, pray not repetitious prayers. Y'all remember that? And see, repetition comes when you're not sure God heard you. See, it comes when you're not sure about God answering your prayer. Then you go back and repeat it again and repeat it again. You ain't got to repeat it no more. God is not hard of hearing. God can hear better than you can. And he's full of integrity, so as soon as he hears, he answers. He said in Jeremiah 33:3, call on me and I will what? Answer. He didn't say call on me and I'll ignore you. He said call on me and I will answer. Folks, that's a promise. But we're going to find out that the key is that righteousness, because through that righteousness you get confidence. It's a righteousness faith connection. Glory to God. Stay here now. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 32 in verse 17. And the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. And the effect of righteousness, what? Quietness and assurance forever. I got assurance or confidence that he heard me. The work of righteousness is peace. It brings you back in fellowship. The effect of righteousness is quietness, where your spirit was disturbed and you all nervous and anxious about things. Once you come into an understanding of you are in right standing with God, and you and God are one, and God is looking out for you, and anything you need, all you got to do is ask him, and no evil can befall you, neither can any plague come nigh your dwelling, and so forth and so on, you got quietness. And look what it says, assurance forever. Glory to God. This is forever I'm talking about. Look at Isaiah chapter 64. Isaiah chapter 64. Come on over there with me. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Isaiah chapter 64. Let me know when you get there. Look at verse 6. For we are all as unclean thing, and all our what? Righteousness are as what? Filthy rags. It's not our natural righteousness. It's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. It's not our righteousness. When God looks at us, he looks at us as righteous as Jesus. Because it's his righteousness that we got. It's not our righteousness, it's his righteousness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter, you're going to get this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, when I'm finding, that's why a lot of folk not walking in faith, because they're still feeling condemned about what they did back there in 1942. And what you need to do is get over that. It's not your righteousness that God looks at when he answers that prayer. It's Jesus' righteousness. You have taken Jesus' righteousness by faith. Glory to God. When you got born again, you became the righteousness of God. Look what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let me know when you get there. Therefore, verse 17, if any man be where? In Christ. Come on. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, come on. Your nature is new. You have the nature of righteousness now. Come on down to verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, you say, well, I don't see how I could be made the righteousness of God. Well, do you see how God could make him unrighteous? He made him sin. He put sin on him. He took your sin and put it on him. Took his righteousness and put it on you. Now, when you know that, then you get over all this stuff that tries to hold you down. They that receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign as kings. Glory to God. Now, this righteousness is a force, and that's what I told you last night about this little slave girl on this plantation and how she came up to the big house. Her mother told her there were slaves on this farm. Now, I'm just using this as an illustration because I think it's a good one, but it's an old story when they had slavery in the country. And her mother said, go up to the big house and tell the master to send me $5. I need $5 and I need it now. And the little girl went on up there. And when she got up there, she said, walked in the room, one of the servants led her in the room, said, Mama told me to tell you to send her $5. And he looked around at her. He said, you better go ahead, get out of here. Little girl stood right there, didn't flinch, didn't bat an eye. Look straight ahead at him. Eyes of steel. Look straight ahead at him. Then he turned around and looked at her again. Mama says she needs $5 and she needs it now. Then he got up and got something to whip her with and came over to her and reached in his pocket and got $5 and gave it to her and told her, go on, get out of here. Amen. Turn to Esther. Esther is just before the book of Job. You know where Job is. Just before the book of Job. Righteousness. You're trying to establish your own righteousness. And some of you have not received the righteousness which is of God. See, I got to do this because it's key. Esther chapter 4. Let me know when you get there. Praise God. Now, this man named Mordecai was a Jew. And Mordecai's nephew or niece, I guess, her name Esther. And what happened is Esther, who was a Jew as well, had worked her way into the king's palace, where Esther now was one of the king's chamberlains or whatnot. And so now what had happened is a wicked man named Haman. And Haman had talked the king into putting a written order in that said the Jews are to be all killed. And Haman, I guess, paid him money and so forth and so on. Well, this was a decree that went out, concerned Mordecai very much, to the point that Mordecai then donned his sackcloth and ashes and began to, of course, intercede here. Now, verse 6. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai into the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. Mordecai told him of all that had happened to him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasurers for the Jews to destroy them. Also, he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them, and to show it to Esther, and to declare it to her, and to charge her that she should go into the king to make supplication unto him and to make a request before him for the people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment to Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether a man or woman, shall come into the king unto the inner court who is not called there, is one law of his to put him to death. In other words, if anybody comes into the inner court of the king, whether it be man or woman, who has not been summoned by the king, shall be put to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king's these 30 days. And they told it to Mordecai, Esther's words. And Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." In other words, just because you're in the king's house, honey, you still a Jew. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying that don't be looking at other denominations and frowning on them. The devil hates every Christian that he can get his hand. He hates all of y'all. Look what it said in verse 14. "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." In other words, if you don't say anything to God's going to raise up somebody else to take your place. Glory to God. Amen. All right. And then he goes on down and he goes into a fast for 3 days. Esther called a fast, and Mordecai, and they went into a fast for 3 days. Look at what it says in chapter 5, verse 1. "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel." Somebody say royal robe. Glory to God. "And stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained what? Favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther his golden what? Scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request?' 'It shall be given thee to the half of my kingdom.'" I'm here to tell you, when you stand in righteousness, not only does faith flow, but favor can come.